Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and Josh Heller is joining me again on the show for another level three study where we will finally complete simple nutrition. This has been the simple nutrition saga. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm good. The not quite so simple nutrition.
Yes. This is the very complicated and elaborate simple nutrition. I mean, I think we both knew going in this was going to be a long topic.
Yeah. And again, it is simplified. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a simple subject.
Yes. Yes.
It probably shouldn't be either. It deserves to be delved into, digested.
Yes. Oh, I like what you did there. We need more nutrition puns on this episode.
I will see what I can do.
Yep. Yep. Work your magic. So we're not going to go into a super in-depth review because we do have a lot to talk about with the zone diet. But just in general, when you go and watch this video series, it's broken down into bite-sized chunks. Hey, there you go.
Like it.
Yep. Part one, macronutrients, micronutrients, nutrient density, nutrient synergy. And we'll talk a little bit about nutrient density and synergy today. But these are important concepts for a coach to know about when giving some sort of a nutritional recommendation or speaking about nutrition to their athletes. The second video is all about protein and fat. So if you're someone who really wants to know about that topic or those topics, you can check out the second video. The third video is about carbohydrates, which it focuses mainly on vegetables, fruits, starch, nuts and seeds. And then the fourth video is sugar, oils, alcohol, and dairy. And how do these things fit into a balanced diet? And that has been one of the main concepts or the themes is finding a balance on your diet as an athlete or just someone who's trying to live a healthy life. Sorry if you can hear my papers. I'm trying to find the beginning of my packet here. Okay, here we go. And EC broke down all of this based on the first two sentences of the 100 Words of Fitness written by Greg Glassman. So as far as a review, those are the videos that you can watch. We've discussed them already in episodes 1 and 2 of the Simple Nutrition discussion. I'm just going to read the two sentences from the 100 Words of Fitness. So we have that as kind of a grounding point as well. So the first two sentences are, eat meat and vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. Keep intake levels that will support exercise, but not body fat. We are about to embark on the breakdown of that second sentence right there. Keep intake levels that will support exercise, but not body fat. And we have already spoken at length about the first two pieces. So that's where we are, Josh. What do you think?
No, I think I think it's good. And I do think this is a nice kind of transition to the end. I find it interesting that this is the zone that a specific diet plan is kind of harped on here versus any other. But I'll get into my thoughts on that in a little bit, because I did have an aha moment a number of years ago in regards to the zone diet. So I will explain my aha moment in regards to that. But it was an interesting to me. But I do think, you know, as we get into this, it does kind of show and you know, basing on what you just said as well, and it's written here under the little descriptions, you know, think of your body as a jug, a 1 gallon water jug. You want to fill it to the top, but you don't want that spillover. You also don't want to underfill it, as it were, especially for athletes, especially for your athletes. I mean, if they're dieting to such a degree that they're not able to keep up their performance, what's the point? What's the point of that? And is that even healthy? Probably not.
Yeah. So, and typically you see athletes are largely under eating. You know, eating the correct amount to fuel your performance is it's hard. People are often taken by surprise when they see how much food they actually have to eat. And it's one thing when they see the numbers first, then it's another thing when they actually see the food on their plate and all throughout the day in the Tupperware. It's an eye-opening experience. And but it's amazing to watch someone go through that process of really fueling their body and putting enough gas in their gas tank. If you think about your body as a vehicle, and they can go, go, go. And they're like, this is amazing. I'm sleeping better because I'm eating more food. I'm performing better in the gym. I'm losing weight because I'm eating a lot of food, which is, it's a concept that's hard for people because typically in the mainstream, hey, you know, you gotta burn more calories than you take in. You have to starve yourself if you want to lose weight. And that's the typical tactic a lot of people use. And it's not a very good one, especially in the long term, because you're actually just going to promote more weight gain when you're done doing whatever it is that you're doing.
Yes. Though I do have a slight bone to pick there. From a technical standpoint, calories in, calories out is the only way to lose weight. You have to burn more calories than you take in. That caloric deficit, without that, there is no weight loss. Now, how you get to that, and by fueling yourself with the right fuels as opposed to not the right fuels, and by being able to improve your performances because of the fuels that you're taking in, I think that's absolutely why a lot of people, when they are eating more, and not just eating more, but so here's the thing, and you know, when I first started my nutrition journey, as it were, the first thing you had me do, and the first thing I would recommend anyone do, is just write down what you eat. Don't change what you eat. Just write down what you eat. Just keep track of it so we can take a look at it. And what I found was that too many carbs, right? It was over what my carb limit should be. Fats were kind of hit and miss. Some days were over, some days were under. Protein, consistently under. And you know, so it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't eating enough. It's that I wasn't eating enough of what I should be eating enough of. And I think that's a big thing. And I think a lot of people, when they do start to track what they eat, they're going to find probably the same thing. Too many carbs, fats, depends. I think some people do overindulge on the fats. And like I said, there were certain days that I would versus certain days that I wouldn't. But the proteins are usually not enough. And that's one that you know, for me, and I think for a lot of people, when they start out, if they're tracking or things like that, whether it's through something like the Zone, whether it's through anything else, you know, tracking their protein macros, that's difficult sometimes. There are some days where I'm like, shoot, how am I going to get this protein in my body, you know, over the course of the day?
Putting together a puzzle.
It is sometimes. And so we've talked about, you know, supplements, and their purpose is to just that, supplement. Right, they're not supposed to be they can be a puzzle piece, but they shouldn't be more than that. And so I think that is something that is a bit eye opening for people, that, you know, it's not that you're not eating enough, it's that you're not eating enough of what you should be eating enough of.
If you're chronically under eating. If you go back to what we've already discussed on all the other videos, there's all the minerals and vitamins and other things that you're lacking as well by simply under eating and just not getting enough, you know, nutrient density and synergy into your body.
Yeah.
But with the Zone here.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's where a lot of, you know, and a lot of people, coaches, everyone, we need to make a distinction. A lot of people come, you know, when I talk to them and they think about going to the gym, like, I want to lose fat. I want to lose weight. That's fantastic. But we, you know, there's a difference between losing, you know, eating to lose weight and eating to be healthy. And you can do both for sure, but they are very, very different things. And so, I mean, you can lose weight by, you know, eating very, 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 very little, but that's not healthy. That's not sustainable. So we're trying to find that kind of, you know, that mixture of, this is going to help you do that in a healthy way, which, by the way, is not going to be, you know, blink of an eye. It's going to take time. It's going to take commitment. and you'll see the benefits, but you know, it's not like you're gonna wake up. It's not a quick fix, nor should it be, right? This should be a long-term solution, something sustainable that you can do for ideally ever.
Yeah. Now, first, Josh, your internet's cutting out a little bit here and there.
Yeah, so yeah, I've noticed that as well. My wife is working from home today also, so we're sharing.
We're sharing
the Wi-Fi's today.
Sharing the Wi-Fi. I was like, maybe it's me. So I turned off the Wi-Fi on my phone.
Nope, it's definitely me. Okay. It's definitely me. This is this common occurrence in my house.
Cool. So what we're gonna be working on here overall with establishing a quote diet, you know. There, like you said before, there's many of them. There's a lot of different types. Which one works? Well, they all work. Every diet that you can find, it's going to work. It's going to lead you to some sort of results. You just have to actually follow it and gain some consistency with it. And that's where a lot of people fall short. You can do zone. You can do paleo zone. You can do if it fits your macros. You can do keto. You can do carnivore, vegan, anything that's out there. You can do Mediterranean. But if you do it 3 days a week and take 4 days a week off and party and all the other stuff, of course, it's not going to work, and it's not the diet's fault. It's your fault that you're not committing or practicing this new skill, if we think about it like a skill, every single day. Perfection is not realistic, and it's not what we're shooting for here right now with any of this stuff. Perfection, if it is achievable, it takes a very, very long time. It's kind of like if you're working on your Olympic weightlifting movements, you're not going to be perfect anytime in the near future. You have to put in a lot of hours and time and reps with the barbell, or in this case, in the kitchen, monitoring and assessing what you're eating. And that's what this type of a diet is. It allows you to assess what you're doing. And you can look at your training, you can look at your eating, and then you can make judgment calls on, do I need more food? Do I need less food? How do I feel? Am I improving with my pull-ups, or am I going the other way?
Yeah, and I was going to say, not only is perfection unlikely, it's not necessary. It shouldn't be something you're shooting for right away with anything, like with the Olympic lifts. Are you ever going to have, you were just at the Arnold's. Did anyone have perfect Olympic lifts? No. I assume not.
Well, hold on now. I know a guy named Miguel Porter. So yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. It was pretty good.
I heard he was a two-time state champion. Is he a three-time state champion? Soon to be?
Not yet. Not yet. We're
gearing
up for it. Maybe soon to be.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not something that's necessary. It isn't. It's also not something that's sustainable either. But it's not something that's necessary. So, you know, if you think that you need to be perfect with your numbers or with your zone diet or with your, you don't. And that's actually one of the reasons why keto and I have a weird relationship, because keto is such that if you mess up just a little bit, it can throw you completely. Like my wife used to do keto. I never did, but she used to do keto, and she would, you know, have something accidentally that would throw her out of ketosis, and that would just ruin like her week. And I'd be like, this doesn't seem sustainable to me. This doesn't seem like something, there should be wiggle room. You need wiggle room, right? We'd go out to eat, we'd go to a wedding. And like, it's like, well, I mean, I can, you know, eat this, but it's gonna make it a rough week. Like that to me is that's not sustainable. So what I do is, as you know, I do the own your eating, the if it fits your macros type of thing. And so I can say like, yeah, go to a wedding. I'm gonna, you know, do the best I can during the day, and then gonna limit my certain things during the day, and then that night I'm gonna have a good time. And then the next day, back to my numbers, and that's fine. There needs to be that, especially at the beginning, because if you find that it's too much of an effort, it's too much of work, it's too much, you know, limitation, then you're not gonna stick with it at all. And like you said, the best diet is the one that works for you and the one that you're able to stick with.
Yeah, and you know, in the beginning, there needs to be a lot of flexibility. You need to not go cold turkey on things. Often what I've seen is it leads to disaster, and it you don't want to create an eating disorder by telling someone that you can't eat these things are bad, you're going to die if you eat it. If you like to eat a pint of ice cream every single day, okay, let's have a pint of ice cream. What's your flavor choice here on the pint?
So if I'm going Ben & Jerry's, I'm going to go Americone Dream.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's got little pieces of like ice cream cone in it. And I do have to say that, what's today? Today is March 7th, which is bananas. March 9th, so that's in 2 days. Keep in mind, we just got like a foot and a half of snow. In 2 days, our ice cream store down the street, our this ice cream place down the street opens up for the season. And I'm
hey, they're dedicated. They are dedicated. So, if we're going Ben and Jerry's, chocolate therapy is where I'm at. Or I do like the Bob Marley one. I can't remember the name of it, but it's graham crackers with little bits of chocolate and banana in it.
You know which one I gotta say, if we're going one of my favorites, Stewart's Crumbs Along the Mohawk. One of my all time favorites as well. It's I can't remember what it is. It's like graham cracker flavored ice cream. Like their little graham crackers. It's so good. It's so good. And I have
eventually
eaten an entire pint of that before. Multiple times.
I do prefer Stewart's over Ben and Jerry's, you know, so if someone's not in the upstate New York area, they have no idea what Stewart's is, but it always tastes cleaner to me, you know, creamier.
What I will say about Ben and Jerry's, which is nice, and my wife just got these the other day, which is why I had it in my head. Ben and Jerry's now serves like a tiny mini, almost looks like a shot glass, little miniature pint. There's one in my freezer right now. I'm not gonna eat it, don't worry. Little mini guy, and it's awesome because I can eat the whole thing and not feel like I just ate a pint of ice cream, but at the same time still have the joy of like scooping it out, which is what we all want to do. Like, we all want to get to the bottom.
Yeah.
And I can do that.
And that goes back to what I was saying. You know, you don't want to create an eating disorder. You don't want to have someone build a negative relationship with food.
Sure.
So all right, there's many components of this. So let me dive into it. It would be better for you to figure out your macros or your zone plan and fit in that pint of ice cream and then have it for a period of time. And there will come a time, and I've experienced this a lot with clients and athletes, where that pint of ice cream will no longer be as important as getting a muscle up or pull-ups or handstand push-ups. It's just going to take time. You can't rush it as the coach, and you shouldn't rush it as the athlete. At some point, you will decide, okay, maybe I'll just have the pint of ice cream on training days, but other days, I'm not going to have it. Then it'll become, all right, I'm going to have the ice cream once a week. It's my end of the week treat or whatever it is. But these are decisions that you make as your relationship with that food and eating in general improves. And then it might be, okay, you know what? I'm going to have the little shot instead of a whole pint, and I'll have that every single day. And I'm at peace with that amount of ice cream, and I can still have it in my life, especially if you're just the everyday athlete who you've got kids, you've got a job, you come to CrossFit because it's a way to work on your health and fitness, and you want to have that social outlet as well. And you're not trying to improve to go to the next level of the open to qualifiers or to semifinals or the games, et cetera, which as you go through that process, you may or may not be able to do certain things with your diet. You know, you may be able to do more because you have to eat an ungodly amount of food, you know, so you have to get those calories in somehow, which a lot of those people, they do. They'll chow down on ice cream every day, but they've gotten to a level where they can handle that both mentally and physically. And if they don't have it, it's not going to lead to some kind of a meltdown later. You don't want to be in a situation where your coach tells you, hey, you can't have the ice cream, Josh. This is bad for you. We're going to take it out of your diet. And you know, if you do it, if you break down and have it, you're going to be you're a bad person. That's not what this is about. But a lot of people will put that on themselves, especially if it's written in the plan, you can't have it. Then it's at the party, or you break down and you buy it and you have it. And then there's the tears the next day at the gym as you're confessing to your coach the same way you would confess to your sins to a priest. It doesn't need to be like that. You know, that's crazy. This has to be done in a tactful, realistic manner to people who are living in the real world. Sometimes living in the gym world, we lose sight of that because we don't all the way live in the real world. The gym is our world. Yeah. So everything is based around the gym. We don't have the perspective of needing a commute to go to sit at a desk all day at a job you may not enjoy and to have to make decisions with your food, or you don't have time because you have projects to do, et cetera. We don't have that necessarily that perspective on life that those people do.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Yeah, you do. I don't all the way.
One of the things, and I remember from when we first sat down, this is years ago now, we first sat down and talked, that you mentioned that I really found interesting was that, you know, we sit around and talk about this is a good food, this is a bad food. 95%, maybe high, 90% of the world doesn't have that luxury. It's not good food, it's bad food, just food. Do I have it? Do I not? Like, great. And you can go back to, you know, not that long ago, and there was no good food, bad food, there was food. And whether or not you had it or didn't or died, like, it was pretty simple. And there are a ton, far too many people that still live that way. Not just in third world countries, here in the United States, there are plenty of people who, you know, just they're not worried about what they're eating. They're just worried about that they're eating, that they're able to eat. And so we have this luxury of being like, well, is this a good food for me or a bad food? It's food. It's all food. There is no good and bad. There's better and worse, but there's no good and bad. These are constructs that we've created very recently because of this luxury that we have. And so, you know, it's just kind of an interesting, you know, place where we find ourselves that we're able to distinguish, well, like, this is a little bit better than that, and that's fine. But to sit there and be like, well, no, that's bad food. You shouldn't eat that. Well, you know what? Some people, they're going to eat what they have to eat because that's what they have to eat. And that doesn't
make I started telling people that because I had so many clients that were like, all right, so I shouldn't eat this, right? This is bad for me, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, as a coach, you need to give people the bird's eye perspective view on like, what are we talking about? What do you mean by bad? You know, these foods can be tools, they can be used in certain situations, but nothing's necessarily bad. You know, carbs aren't bad. So to circle back around to the whole keto thing, a lot of people decide that they're going to do a keto diet because they've heard that carbs are bad for you. Because it's everywhere. This is part of a problem with everything in general. There are too many resources now, almost it seems. Let's say, Josh, I'm your athlete, right? I'm going to come to the gym. I'm brand new. I'm going to be going to your class every single day, and you're going to help me with my nutrition. You're going to give me some advice, right?
Love it. Love it.
When I go home, I'm going to be all over Instagram. I'm going to be all over YouTube. I'm going to listen to every asshole with a microphone, which hopefully that's not
that's us.
Right? Yeah.
Except for us. Obviously.
Yeah. So I'm going to be taking all this stuff in. And what I'm probably not going to do is look into, okay, well, that guy just said this. Let me research the person where is this information coming from? You know? And then I come back and I might not even tell you all this new knowledge that I've learned or started to implement. And you're like, so, hey, what's going on? Have you started doing this thing that I told you to do? And you're like, well, actually, I decided I'm going to fast for 16 hours every day. I'm going to do keto. I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. I've implemented all these different modalities together. You know, so I'm doing CrossFit powerlifting and weightlifting with a dash of strongman on the weekends. That's kind of what people do with their nutrition. So it's like, it's a little bit of an uphill battle for coaches to mitigate all of the noise that's out there. Like, we see it in CrossFit and weightlifting too. Our athletes are exposed to so much. They're exposed to so many people. And I hope that people realize that a lot of what's being put out to you is to lure you in a little bit for the gain of that person. Do they have a supplement that they're pushing? Do they have this program that if you buy it, you'll be ripped in 30 days? Is that realistic at all?
I just want to go into my kitchen and eat some raw liver and call it a day. All right. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. P.S. He sold supplements.
He did.
And used supplements.
Yes, maybe some special supplements.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, we're in a culture now where, again, the fact that there's all this information out there is not inherently a bad thing, but two things happen in my mind. One, people use it to their advantage to take advantage of other people who don't have the knowledge. And two, and I find this sometimes, is it's paralysis by analysis, right? You can spend so much time seeing all these different things. And like you said, they all can hypothetically work if you stick to them. And, you know, which is the best, which is the worst? Well, this one's better. Well, he said that. And then eventually you're just like, screw it, I'm going to go eat my pint of ice cream and decompress from all of this. And so I think that's where, you know, the coach ideally comes in to be like, look, I get it. They said that, but, you know, let me tell you what I think and why I think it. P.S. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not, you know, this is just me talking to you. And so there has to be.
They've already been sold the membership, though, to be fair.
I mean, that's true. That's true. Yes. But I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Like when I went to you for this, you know, it was after I already had a relationship with you through the gym and trusted your thoughts on the matter and had seen, you know, had seen people that you had worked with achieve results that I wanted to achieve or, you know, ideally move in that direction. And so there needs to be that trust level, just like, you know, look, you trust me to get you through this class without hurting yourself most of the time. You know, you trust me with putting you through this program that we have. You need to trust me here too. And if you don't, yeah, okay, but that's the best I can give you, right? If I, you know, in the same thing with exercise, right? With the workout programs, if you want to go and do something on your own and, you know, and do this and that, okay. I mean, I'm not going to stop you. Is it going to be beneficial or not? I have no idea. That's out of my control. All I can do is give you the information and expertise that we have, give you the examples, give you the experience that we have. You do with that information what you will. And there are certainly people who will buy in and not monetarily, but, you know, buy into the program or whatever it is, both working out and, you know, and they will see results. But there are also going to be people that are going to get distracted by the shiny things that are out there, that are everywhere, that, you know, well, this worked better. He said this. And honestly, there's nothing we can do about that.
There's nothing you can do about it. And we all do it, you know, just the constant scrolling and being bombarded with information, mm-hmm, and not checking that information. You know, you have to develop a relationship with your athletes and a trust system with nutrition, with everything, you know. And there's a big misconception on when you go to a CrossFit gym, what is it, the thing that you're paying for? What is it, Josh? Are you paying for the programming? Are you paying to do the workout? Are you paying?
I feel like you're paying for the coaching.
Just simply be a member.
I feel like you're paying for the coaching.
You're paying for the coaching.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can find CrossFit programming at CrossFit HQ for free if you want.
Yes. Yeah. You're paying for the coaching. That's the so it's like the programming doesn't necessarily matter. You're not paying for that. You're not paying for anything, but you are paying for the coaching, the eyes on you and the guidance and the wisdom and the relationship that will come from it. And that person in front of you cares about you, you know? So I would say if you're an athlete, okay, since we're going to do it, read the articles, do all that stuff, but then bring it back to your coach and say, is this something that's realistic for me? I just had this situation yesterday. An athlete sent me a text and they're like, hey, what if I did this in my program? And I said, okay, where did this idea come from? Like, why do you want to do this? Because I want to know where the ideas are coming from. Like, did you sit down and really think about this? Is there a reason that you feel this exercise will help you? Have you researched the exercise? Or did you see a video online and someone who calls themselves a coach said, this is how you fix this problem, even though there are multiple fixes for all the problems. So it's, you know, I'm not asking because I'm mad. I'm asking because I just generally want to know, where did the idea come from? And did you have this original thought on your own, or did this come from somewhere else? And then what is the source? And then we need to determine if that's a good source or not. And then we need to make a decision on if this is a good course of action for you, period. So it, instead of just taking it at face value, okay, yeah, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, you know what you didn't do also? Is say, no, it's my way or the highway. You listen.
Yeah.
You and look, and I'm sure, and what happens to me, I'm a newer coach, people will come to me with things and I don't know. Like, well, what if I did this? I have no idea, honestly. Well, is this a good thing to do? I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'll look into it. I'll absolutely look into it. Give me a day. Let me do some research, and then we can talk about it. Because, you know, a coach doesn't, we don't know everything, even though we like to think we do. We don't. We don't.
I don't think I know everything.
And that thing that was proposed to you could be a crock very easily. It also could be helpful, regardless of what the, you know, of what the source is or was. You know what? Maybe you're like, you know what? I didn't think about it. Sure, let's give it a try, or not. But you don't go, okay, yeah, good, go for it. And B, don't go, absolutely not. No, that's not what we're doing. We need to be receptive to that as well, because, you know, our athletes need to know that they have input as well, that we're not, you know, set in stone, like, you can't do this. This is not how it's done. Obviously, with something that's going to, you know, safety and things like that, notwithstanding. But, you know,
yeah,
you take it into consideration, and maybe they do it and maybe they don't, and maybe it's for the best and maybe it's not, but it's not a hard, absolutely not. Don't, how dare you question me and my teachings with your fancy TikTok-y, you know, video, Insta, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, and it's funny, you know, you always hear doctors who, you know, have people be like, well, I saw on this that it's this, and it has to be super frustrating for a doctor to be like, no, that's dumb. That's absolutely insane. You know,
the doctor only sees you once or twice a year for 5 minutes too. Your coach is in front of you every day for hours on end. All right. So to kind of like surmise what we're talking about here in this grand thing, we're not trying to seek perfection. We're trying to build a better relationship with food. We want to practice every single day something that will set us up for success. There will be days where we miss the mark that we set for ourselves. If we're trying to do keto, we go to a wedding, we have some carbs, but we should be in a situation where that's okay, because tomorrow we can get back on track because we have a plan and we're able to assess and we have a good relationship with food.
Yeah.
We also don't want to vilify foods. Of course, there are better options. There are things that our body can handle that the next person next to us can't handle. And we can figure that out as well with assessing through some sort of a dietary plan like the zone. And that's it. I think that kind of sums it up. Yeah. Like, we're not saying to eat junk food all the time. What we're saying is we need to be realistic and to walk before we run and run before we sprint, you know, before that, we need to crawl.
And be kind to yourself. Like, be kind to yourself. This is not easy. It's, you know, if I fail on a snatch, which I do often, I get frustrated with myself. I get annoyed with myself. But at the same time, I know that I'm working on it. It's not going to come right away. Be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up all the time. So, you know, the other day,
I'll add to that. A lot of people will maybe miss a snatch at the gym or something else happens in life and beat themselves up with food when they go home.
Absolutely.
You know, they'll binge, they'll buy all the bad stuff. This is what's going to make me feel good right now. You will find those things out when you're working with someone on their lifestyle and their health. And you'll have to have those difficult conversations and help them navigate that, because that is also not a healthy relationship with food. Yeah. If you're going to use food to beat yourself up.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you know, like we said, it's not going to be perfection, but remember, and this is what I always try to tell myself, one bad meal is not going to ruin a day. One bad day is not going to ruin you your week. And we have these tendencies to snowball. So the other day I was having dinner, I was following my numbers, and my son had had a couple Reese's peanut butter cups. There were two of them in there, and he gave one to his daddy. And are you serious? Am I not going to take that? First of all, Reese's, it's delicious. Second of all, he decided to give one of his two Reese's peanut butter cups to me. How could I say no? I couldn't do it.
He decided to show you some love and share.
So of course I ate it. Again, it was delicious anyways, beside that. But I mean, like, of course I'm going to do that. I'm never not going to do that. And did that screw up my numbers for the day? Yeah, probably a little bit. But in the grand scheme of things, it's fine. Now, if I took that and was like, well, my day's already ruined, might as well just, you know, eat that pint of ice cream today. No, right? Then just be like, okay, yeah, I did that. It happened. It's fine. You know, it's over. We move on. That's how we need to look at it. It's not fatal. It's not fatal.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody has their own little hangups. You know, there have been people who were afraid to go out to eat. You know, in the Own Your Eating book, there's a bunch of case stories. And one woman in the book, she was afraid to go out to eat because there might be bread on the table. So if there was like a family gathering or a special thing, she couldn't go because she's afraid that there'd be bread on the table and she was going to eat a lot of bread. That is a problem. Yes. You know, that you should be able to go. And then if you have an extra piece of bread, okay, but you're able to get back on track tomorrow. You have a plan. Okay, what am I eating for breakfast? And it's, I'm going to have two eggs, a cup of blueberries, and a couple slices of avocado. I don't know, whatever you're gonna have, some bacon, but you have this plan. And that's where the zone diet and other things come into play. You have a plan. This is way harder if you have no idea what you're eating tomorrow or the next meal. Then that's when we're going down a slippery slope and you find yourself wandering the aisles of the grocery store and you're like, I'm a grown adult and I have no idea how to feed myself.
Yeah. You think you can do it on the fly? You can't. I've tried to track numbers on the fly, like actually like build out a day on the fly. It's nearly impossible. You have to do it the night before or first thing in the morning. Otherwise the day is done. Like trying to do that as the day is going on, almost impossible.
Well, here, let's dive into the zone because we haven't really talked about the zone too much here. Video number 5 is the basics of the zone. And if you have the CrossFit manual, the trainer's manual, which is free, you can download it. Just go into Google and type in CrossFit trainer's manual, or I'll link it in the show notes. Journal 20, number 21 goes way more in depth on a breakdown of the zone. And it also has, I'm turned to it right now in my book, it has a bunch of meal plans in there as well. So you can see like examples of a 3-block meal, a 4-block meal, and the food that is involved with it. So that's a pretty cool aspect of the journal there. But in CrossFit, so all these things aside, if you are someone who is training to be a CrossFit trainer and you might be taking an exam and you need to know what CrossFit wants you to know, right? So this was a difficult part for me. I know all these other things about nutrition. I have my own thoughts, etc. But when I took the test, journal number 21, this is what they want to know. This is so, if you are too overly opinionated on your test taking, you might opinionate yourself right into a failing grade. So we always have to understand that. What are we dealing with? This is the CrossFit prescription. And CrossFit likes the zone because of the idea that we're assessing what we're taking in so that we can see our performance tracks with that food. And we can figure out, you know, if we're having excess protein, carbs, or fats that will be stored as body fat. Just like you explained earlier, we're overfilling our gallon a jug. We can know this by tracking with the zone. The zone prescription, it uses the block system, where one block equals 7 grams of protein, 9 grams of carbohydrate, and 1.5 grams of fat. So that's a block of each of those macronutrients. And you might, you know, if you look into the manual or you look into any kind of zone prescription, the way we used to figure out how many blocks you were is you look at the tag on your t-shirt. If it says medium, you're a medium male and you would go with the medium block prescription, which I think for me, it was 16 blocks a day. And if you were wearing a large t-shirt, then you're a large block prescription. And actually, I should probably find that here in the manual while we're going. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in there, but I'll find it here in a second. So that's the bare bone basics of the zone. How much do we need to intake to support exercise and not excess body fat? It differs from person to person. Josh versus James versus the listener, we're all different. And it factors of our current status, you know, like our body fat composition, are we performing well, male or female, activity level, current health status. We can start to track these things and keep an eye on them and tabs on them based on what we're doing with our nutrition.
Yeah. And so that aha moment I had in regards to the zone. So when I was taking my L1, when I was taking the test, and I'm not going to get into specifics, I don't want to give away anything, but there was a question about the zone and how many blocks something equaled. And the truth of the matter was, I didn't know. Like, I don't know how many blocks this is. But what I did know was that this particular piece of food was a certain amount of grams of carbs, because like I said, I track macros, was a certain amount of grams of carbs when I track it in, you know, in my phone. So I knew that. Now, is that exact? No. Is it precise? No. It has to do with the size of it, but like a medium size, whatever, generally speaking. And I was able to take that, knowing how much that was, give or take, knowing how many, you know, grams equal a block, do quick math in my head, and then figure out the answer that was closest. And there was one that was pretty close. The others weren't nearly as close. And that was the answer I got to. And that right there led me to a conclusion that the zone diet, track your macros, own your eating, Weight Watchers point system, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing with different dressing on it. Like the Weight Watchers point system.
Well, it is all the same thing because if you think about it, calories are calories.
Yeah.
You can't reinvent calories. No. You can't reinvent protein, fats, and carbs.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it.
Well, tracking
one calorie.
How much we should have calories, you know, macros, whatever, and how many we track that we do have, and whether we do that via the actual grams of the macronutrients themselves, whether we do that by the number of blocks, whether we do that by the number of points, however Weight Watchers comes up with that or whatnot, it's the same damn thing. It's the same thing. And that was like, oh, wait a minute. We're not reinventing the wheel here. We're not reinventing the wheel. These things have been doing this for years. It's just being accountable for what you should have to keep yourself healthy. And how you get that number is obviously there are ways to do it. But knowing what you should get, or whether it's trial and error, whether it's the mathematical formula, whatever, finding what you should be having in order to, you know, as we say, you know, maximize performance without, you know, having to supporting fat, and then actually doing that.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's they're different systems and different tools for the same thing. So, okay, you want to lose body fat, calories in versus calories out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, all right, what are the calories? What is the breakdown of proteins, fats, and carbs for calories? And now we need a system to organize our day. You already listed all of them off. They're different tools for the same result.
Yeah.
Look at weightlifting. You have the Bergner system. You have the Penley system. You have the North system. Everybody teaches it a little bit more nuanced than the other. But the end result is still snatch and clean and jerk, is to still to try to go heavy. There's tons of different types of strength programs out there. Each one of them uses the back squat. None of them reinvented the back squat. They just use different numbers, different reps and set schemes, and sets of five or sets of five, just like a gram of protein is a gram of protein. It equals 4 calories. These are just different strategies to get you to the end result. And the thing is, for you
can work.
For you, the zone might make more sense. For me, macros might make more sense just in the way my brain works.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking at all these blocks and things like that, and like, I just don't get it. You know, but if you tell me, all right, here's my lump sum of proteins, fats, and carbs. Oh, all right. That makes sense. I'll use 15 here, 15 there. But for you, you're like, ooh, I really like this block system. It simplifies it in a way that makes more sense to me. Weight Watchers points. Oh, all right. I like the system here. That makes sense to me. So it's like you said, it's the same type of method with the same end result and goal in mind. It's just a different way of doing it. And it's going to make sense to some people than one thing or another.
Yeah, no, that's it, one of the things that they talk about is, as a coach, you should be aware of all the different times, and, you know, more than just being aware of the different types, try them, see what they're like, see how they are. Not necessarily for like, hey, which one's going to work best for you. You may know what works best for you, but to have an experience of saying like, this is how, you know, like, okay, you're just starting this out. What does it feel like? Right. Well, these blocks they're complicated. Well, you know what? When I did it, I did find them a little complicated also, but I found this helped. And you have that insight into all the different types. You don't have to stick with it. You may not, you know, find that it's, you know, your favorite thing to do, like you said, you know, in your head. And I'm with you on what you said. The idea of the blocks is, to me, a little, I struggle with that, as opposed to like, I have this many grams of carbs, this many grams of fat, this many grams of protein, and, you know, now let's put the pieces together. Let me go to work, right? Sprinkle some over here, a little bit over there. I got this over here. Oh, I need to fill in some protein there. Ah, I can do that. That's easier for me, but I should still be able to do the zone workout, even if it's not something I want to do for the rest of my life, so that when someone asks me about it, I can talk to them honestly about it. And when they have some of the same problems I have, I can be like, look, I struggle with that also. I found this to be a little bit helpful, but you know what? I also found doing this instead was most beneficial for me. Try it or don't. And so we need to be able to have that open conversation of, I tried it and this is what happened. And
yeah, it's just like with keto, right? Hey, all right, I've tried keto. One thing you might experience is something that they call the keto flu. You know, I've been through it. Here's how I overcame it. You know, I made sure my electrolytes were on point and I was staying hydrated and all that stuff. You can help them get out ahead of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, keto is another thing. It's just a redistribution of the macros with a specific purpose on that one.
Yeah.
On having more fat and medium protein, or high fat, medium protein, and very low carb, if any carbs for some. And you know, there's nothing wrong with keto. It's not a fad diet. That's one of my big pet peeves, is when people say fad diet. How long does something have to be around? How many like decades before it's no longer a fad diet? And it helps. It started off in like helping people with cancers and other medical things, because the carbs and the sugar and stuff were feeding those diseases. Yeah. We've had a few members of our gym who have been on dialysis or in remission for their cancers, and their doctors put them on a ketogenic diet, you know, high fat, medium protein, very, very low carbs to help with their recovery. And it just comes down with anything. Just like when an athlete comes to you with an idea on like, maybe I should do my handstand pushups this way. It's like, well, where did you hear that? Why do you want to do this? What video did you watch? Same thing with nutrition. A lot of people will come to me and they're like, James, I want to do a keto diet. And it's like, why? Why do you want to do a keto diet? And it's more often than not, Josh, it's because they think it will be easier because they're going to eliminate a lot of foods, or they just don't like to eat vegetables and stuff, which is fine. They do think it's going to be easier, eating a lot more fat. And it is sexualized in a way. It's like out there on the internet, they make keto sound very sexy.
Yeah, bacon. You know, eating bacon, just having bacon. But they should also keep in mind that just yesterday, a study was released that it may be associated, the keto-like diet may be associated with heart disease,
bullshit,
according to the research. Now, Have I looked into that research? I have not. I literally just saw this pop up yesterday. And I was like, that's interesting. I'm going to bring that up on the on the pod. Now, again, I need
to look into that more. Let's look into it. Let's look into see what entities are behind that study. If they're in any way connected to the food industry, we know that this is not correct. Yeah, that seems like insanity to me. But then again, you know, who knows? Maybe a certain person, but that's why you have to do your research. You have to figure out what works for you. And you can't be looking for the easy way out. I think a lot of times people view keto as the easy way out. And you know what also part of the problem is? So many products now that you could label easily as junk food are called keto. Yeah. Oh, here's a keto bar. Here's keto granola. Here's keto cereal. That's not part of the deal. Like, all right, like I realize it's got a lot, it has protein in it. But if you look at the protein on the keto cereal, it might be pea protein. So that's an incomplete protein.
Yep.
And it just doesn't have a lot of carbs. So you can make a product now that just doesn't have a lot of carbs and slap the keto brand diet, or logo on it, or just the words, and trick people into thinking they're being healthy.
Yep.
I
will mention it's the Healthy Heart Program Prevention Clinic, St. Paul's Hospital and University of British Columbia Center for Heart Lung Innovation in Vancouver. That's a lot of things I just said. It's Canadian though, so it's gotta be right. I mean, it's good. It's Canadian. They're good.
No, if it's Canadian, it's bad. You see what's going on there?
How dare you? It's the maple syrup magnet coming for him. Oh, I got you. I got you now.
Maple is behind that.
Big Maple.
Yeah, Big Maple is definitely behind that study.
That figures.
They're going to come after us now, or at least me now, for saying that.
They're going to find us in a bathtub, just drown in a bathtub of maple syrup. Yep, I believe it.
I'll say it right now. I'll say it right now. I would never drown myself or accidentally drown in a bath of maple syrup. Just saying. there's been funny business if that happens.
Yep, I believe it. I think in the end, you know, is there a perfect way to do this? No, it's very personalized. And can change. I think one of the things that was harped on to me is if you're going to start something and try something and stick to something, give it time. Give it 2 to 3 weeks, at least a couple weeks to let your body adjust to it and
see how they feel.
See if there are any changes. And that's exactly it. Like, you know, you may do it, you may be seeing results, you may feel like crap. Well, that's not good. You know, or you may feel great, but you know, you're not noticing any changes, and not just changes when you step on the scale, not just changes when you look in the mirror, but changes, you know, with how you feel on a day-to-day basis and how you feel at the gym, how your performance is. I mean, ultimately that's, you know, we're not just working out to, you know, to lose fat. We're working out to help with our performances as well. I mean, sorry, we're our nutrition is to help us, you know, fuel our performances as well. Which is why if we had to give nutrition advice to someone who was not doing this, who is not, you know, a CrossFitter or was not in a, you know, in a program like this, our advice may change because, you know, maybe you don't need as much because you're not fueling yourself for, you know, hardcore workouts, you know.
And then you start to add in that case, the conversation of, hey, why don't you stop by the box and try, you know, a CrossFit workout? Because like, you do want that fitness component. So we're trying to convince CrossFitters to have a healthy relationship with their eating and food and to fuel for performance and to do things in a way that will support their activity and not excess body fat. And with the non-workout person, we're trying to help them make healthy decisions for their life. And also maybe to try to convince them, well, hey, there is this functional movement thing that is also a good idea. And that will magnify the results of your nutrition. You kind of need both of these things hand in hand.
And what is, you know, it's kind of a buzzy thing to say, but what is it? You know, you can't out exercise a bad diet.
You can't outwork a shitty diet.
Yeah. If you go to the gym consistently, and what's consistently? 5 days a week, 6 days a week, maybe. How long are you there for? An hour?
Even 3 days a week.
Yeah, but how long are you there for? An hour? Hour and a half, maybe? There's still 22 and a half hours of your day that you can, you know, screw away. And that 22 and a half hours of your day has a lot more weight, so to speak, than the hour and a half. And so, you know, whether that's working out, whether that's eating, you know, it's what we do over the entire day. I mean, they talk about how we burn calories, right? How we burn calories. Well, the most calories that we burn is the basal metabolic rate, or the resting metabolic rate. And that's just what calories you burn just from living, right? Natural functions. That's why people in comas don't get fat, even though they're being fed, you know, nutrients, because their body needs to burn calories to live. So even if you spend all day lying in bed doing nothing, you're still burning 70%+ of the calories you're going to burn on a normal day doing nothing. The second
thing the way I explain it to people is that you got to spend money to make money, you know. So you have to spend calories to take calories in. You eat a steak, and it's your body's going to have to expend a little bit of energy to break down the steak.
Well, and that is the thermic effect of eating, right? Which is also up there. Then there's the what's called NEAT, which is the non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is just what we do moving throughout the day that's not working out. But the smallest percentage of calories that we burn traditionally in a day is working out, exercise activity thermogenesis, that eat. And so it's important.
Yeah. It gives you a big boost.
And it's important for so many other things, both physically, mentally, emotionally, so many other things. And I always say this, you know, if I get up in the morning and work out at 6 a.m., I'm less likely to stop by Krispy Kreme on the way to work than I would be if I just, you know, rolled out of bed and you know, and didn't do that, because I've already been like, well, I've already screwed up. But, you know, it's one of those things where it also helps affect your decision-making throughout the day. But that decision-making throughout the day is so important. So when someone comes in saying, hey, I want to join CrossFit because I want to lose fat, great. Let's work on your workouts. And let's also talk about your nutrition, because with one, you can't have one without the other. You can.
And when it comes down to it, a CrossFit coach is most likely not a nutritionist or a dietitian, right? So what you're trying to do is give practical advice. You can still give, you know, nuggets of wisdom without having that specialty. What you need to watch out for is when you overstep your bounds. So you can lead people in the right direction. You can speak from your own experience. You can do X, Y, Z. I wouldn't necessarily write someone a meal plan with all the foods planned out, et cetera, you know. But if you're going to give someone practical advice, you know, okay, this is out there everywhere. 3 to 5 meals a day. Right? Like, eat some food. If we're going to track the amount of food, here are some tools and methods we could do that. We could use zone. We could use, if it fits your macros, there's a million things we can do there. And if you've done it as a coach, you can give advice on what worked for you, what didn't work for you. If someone is trying to plan out their meals or eating out, EC gave some great tips in the video on how to do that. You know, she said, if you're going to build a meal, it has protein, fats, and carbs in each meal, right? Your palm of your hand and the thickness and the size is about your piece of protein. So if you're trying to figure out how big of a piece of meat to eat, it's about the palm of your hand, the size of your hand. For carbs, put as many green veggies as you want on the plate as possible. It can be overflowing, just because we know, like, you're not going to max out your carbs for the day on broccoli. You'd have to eat an ungodly amount of broccoli. So get all that stuff on your plate and get all the nice minerals and vitamins from the veggies on there. And you know what? If you don't like asparagus, don't eat asparagus. It's okay. You don't have to force it down. And you also don't have to slather things in butters or other things just to force yourself to eat it. Just simply don't eat it because you don't like it. It's okay. If you don't like a food, don't eat it.
I don't like asparagus. It's a texture. I don't like it's slime. I don't like it. Not my thing.
With the carbs, for the fruits and starchy things, it's about 1 to 2 fists. So it's a fist. Make a fist. If it's rice, potatoes, sweet potatoes, it might be two. If it's fruit, carrots, and beets, it might be one. You know, so it's somewhere around the fist size. And then for fat, it's a cupped hand is about a teaspoon or well, no, one tablespoon. So if your cupped hand, well, that's the amount of almonds, you know, you're going to have right there or walnuts. And so that right there, if you did that for 3 to 5 meals without doing anything else, you're just like, okay, I'm going to have a palm of my hand of protein. I'm going to load up my plate with green leafy vegetables and other things like that. I'm going to have a fist worth of fruit on the side. It's a little something sweet. And I'm going to have a bunch of nuts that fit into the palm of my hand. That's a decent plan right there. Yeah, that's you're going. So that is way better than going into life with no plan. I used to tell this in on-ramp with the nutrition talk. If you leave the house with just your wallet, then this is a plan for, you know, most likely disaster. Unless you're someone who's really comfortable doing this out in the wild, which, like you said earlier, is very difficult. Well, but if you planned it and you prepped.
Yeah. My dad always used to say, failing to plan is planning to fail.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Stuart Heller. The other one is prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Yeah.
So, you know, all true. So it's all true.
Just put a little bit of thought into it. And this is a conversation you can have with an athlete in the gym without overstepping your bounds or your own personal comfort level with working with someone with nutrition. Give them practical advice. And EC has talked all about throughout these videos, a lot of practical advice that we've already gone over, but it doesn't need to be overly complicated. And you can even make it even more simple than the zone. And then when you're ready for the zone, then start doing the zone. So maybe someone just starts with 3 to 5 meals a day. They're going to make that commitment. They're going to plan things out in the grocery store. They're going to use these measurements. And it's probably going to be more food than they would normally eat. And they're going to feel a little better after that. And then they can start to think about, all right, what foods make me feel good? What foods make me feel bad? You have to learn about yourself in this process, just like you would learn about yourself in training. How do I respond to high rep pull-ups? Burpees come up. I know how I feel about those. Like, it's the same thing with this. So if you can kind of parallel and mirror training and nutrition, this is also training. You know, everything is training. The training in the gym is training. The training in the kitchen is training. And then the recovery and the stretching and the mobility, all this stuff, that is also training. The psychological part of it and talking to a therapist, maybe to help you with your athletic or just life pursuits. That's training. If you become an athlete, everything becomes training. And then it's just your lifestyle.
Yeah. And, you know, like any kind of training, it's work at first. Know that going in. And I think you talked about it, right? What's the easiest way to do that? The easiest way to do it is to not do it. And if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're going to find.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It isn't. Doesn't mean it's not worth it, but you have to be in a place to know that it's not going to be easy, but it is going to be, you know, it is going to be worth it. And that's what's going to help you make the decision to do it and to stick with it. But if you're not willing to do that, whether it's put in the work, you know, whether it's, you know, being comfortable with the fact that this is not, you know, a quick fix, then you're not ready. To be honest, you're not ready. You can try it. I'll support you. We'll give you all the help you need, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You need to be able to make the commitment to say that this is going to suck. Like, how often do we look at a workout and go, well, this is going to suck? Like, often. Do we do it anyways? We do. Why? Because we know it's worth it in the end.
Every day is going to suck.
usually embrace the suck, not just at the gym, but also at the table.
Well, and it's like you can look at a workout and be like, oh, that's going to suck. But then when you look at the components of the workout and you know yourself, you're like, all right. I already know I'm going to hang on to the bar for those pull-ups. I already know that I'm going to try to go unbroken on the thrusters. And you know what that hurt is versus if you're like, all right, I know I'm going to chop that up into sets of three. You know, it's a different kind of, of hurt, you know, and it's a decision that you made going into it on what you're going to pursue what dark path you're going to go down during that workout.
Because you know what goals you're trying to achieve in the end. And those are going to help you do it. Same here. Those are going
to
help
you. So you pick the route that you think is going to help you achieve your goals. And you work that plan with your coach. Yeah. This is because they're going to ask you, how are you going to break up these double unders? And you're like, I'm going for broke today. And it's like, okay, well, we need to think about how you're going to be focusing on your breathing and how you're going to deal with going unbroken on these 100 double unders for the next movement. Because it's going to be entirely different if you chopped up in sets 25.
Exactly. And at the same time, someone who's just starting out, whether it's in, you know, the nutrition game or on there, it's we're going to break this up into sets. I want you to, and I want you to do it from the beginning. Break it up. Break it up. Is it going to get you, you know, the best performance ever? No, but it's going to get you through it. And it's going to get you through it in a way that you can do it, work hard, and still come back the next day and be like, all right, that was tough. I didn't enjoy that. But I survived. I didn't die. Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to like laying on the floor at the end and being like, I can't do this anymore.
Well, if we go back to benchmark workouts, which was our first level 3 study, doing Diane, breaking up the deadlifts into sets of 3, 7 sets of 3. And that's okay for someone who might be going 225 for the very first time.
Sure.
And then as they get better and gain experience, now we do 3 sets of 7. And then we try to go 11 and 10. And then the next time we go unbroken as they've built up their, not only just their strength, because the strength is only one component of moving 225 for 45 reps. There's also the muscular endurance. There's a cardiovascular respiratory endurance. All of these things have to play together. And this is how you can build up that capacity. Well, with your diet, we're going to start off with just eating 3 to 5 meals a day and measuring with your hand. And going shopping. How about just simply going grocery shopping and making a list and writing down what you're going to eat for the week? And then eventually, hey, here's this thing called the zone. And what this is going to do is this is going to give you a specific amount of food to eat to support lean body mass. And that's one of your goals. And it's also going to help improve and tighten up your diet for your performance in the gym. But maybe day one, that's not the best thing.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, going back to Diane or any of this, is the mental part of it too. You put me in front of a bar at 225 when I first started out and go, all right, do 21. I'm like, I can't do that. You tell me do 7 sets of 3. Like, all right, I can do a set of 3, take a step, relax. All right, just another set of 3. Mentally, I can do that. You know, get to the 7s. All right. I think I can handle that because I know I've done 3s just fine. I think I can handle the 7s. All right. Well, I've done 7. I'm pretty sure I can do the 11 and 10. But if you jump right in and go, all right, won't you, it's your first time doing it, let's do a set of 11 and a set of 10. I can't do 10 of those. Are you serious? Get out of here. And so mentally, you're already losing. You've already failing before you step to that bar. And it's our job to make sure that that's not the case. And the same thing here, set yourself small, achievable goals and use those goals and celebrate those wins because they are steps to getting where we ultimately want to be. And that's what this is. It's a journey. It's not, you know, it's not the destination. It's the journey. It's the journey. It's a little of the destination, but it's also the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Josh, that's all I've got for the zone diet. You know, I just, do you have any closing thoughts on the whole thing?
It's funny, you know, quickly that kind of going back to that aha moment I had. The zone diet kind of, you know, the thing is, you know, 40% carbs, 30% fat, 30% protein. And I think this came up the other day and I was like, yeah, that's not what I do though. Cause I do the macros, I do the own you're eating. And so I looked up what I am, 40% carbs, 27% fat, 33% protein. Almost the exact same thing. And I was like, oh, I guess that is kind of what I do. So that's a pretty good.
Yeah. Cause the ratio for the zone is 40, 30, 30, 40% carbs, 30% protein, 30% fat. And they also said, or EC said in the video, that CrossFit's not married to those ratios. Yeah. They're going to differ a little bit.
What
CrossFit is married to is the ability to use this tool as an assessment based on your performance in the gym. Then if you decide, hey, all right, I want to ramp up my training for the open. Let's add some blocks. you know, if you decide I want to go the other way, I feel like I'm gaining too much weight, let's take some blocks away and then work the system, see how it affects your performance, and then keep tweaking it.
Well, and I came to you because I've been following the same numbers for a couple of years, had success with them, and was training for a marathon and got to about the 20-mile mark and hit a wall. I hit a wall, and I thought that nutrition was probably part of it because I was still doing CrossFit and now running 5 to 6 times a week. And we, leading up to the marathon, I think with 6 weeks out, we started every 2 weeks bumping them up, bumping those numbers up. I didn't gain weight, even though I was eating significantly more. You know, I was able to break through that because of that.
This I would say that's an advanced method of almost applying linear periodization the same way you would with barbell weights. Week one is 80%, week two is 85%, week three is 90%. So it keeps going up. We increased your macros by percentage, about 3% on probably fats and about 3 to 5% on carbs and proteins every week or every 2 weeks. So a slow, gradual ramp up. Yeah. And the reason I did it that way is because I needed you to be able to be as close to, in this scenario, perfect with the numbers as possible, because that will let us know if we need to make changes or keep the numbers. And you're trying to perform at a high level at an arduous task. And this isn't just Josh in the gym. This is Josh who has a competition coming up. So I needed you to be a little bit more perfect with it so we can make good decisions and monitor your performance. Because if you're not hitting those macros and you're not performing well, then the answer is hit your macros, you know. But if you're hitting your macros spot on and you're not performing well, okay, now we can actually make a change.
Yeah.
And also, we didn't want to increase the numbers too fast where you're not able to keep up with it in terms of buying the food, prepping the food. A small jump allows you, okay, I can eat an extra carrot. I can eat an extra ounce of ground beef. And it's not all of a sudden this gigantic boost. And then do you remember what we did after the race?
Yeah, it took 2 weeks and kept it. And then stepped it down.
We tapered back down. Yeah. So that would be another mistake is, let's say you have an athlete who's competing to something, you figure out their macros. And let's just, for the sake of easy math, say that their proteins, fats, and carbs are 100, right? 100 grams, 100 grams, 100 grams. Never going to be that way. But this is just for easy math, right? And then you bump them up to 200 grams for this competition. And then right after the competition, you plummet them back down to 100. You know, there needs to be a gradual taper off. So the same way we went back up, we went back down. Okay, Josh, here are your numbers for this next 2 week interval. And then we tapered down again to get back to your maintenance numbers. If we just drop it back down, then we might prompt a physiological response of gain weight or
starving.
Yes, that too. And now you're like, I'm going crazy because I just used to eat all that food and you just dropped me back down to something that I didn't have time to adjust to.
Yeah.
I did that for you. I did that for Siva. I did that for Laura. And I did that for Mary Pat, the same type of system. And it worked pretty well for all of you.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, the flexibility of all this. It's, you know, we want to stick to it, but there's a flexibility involved. And there's a constant monitoring of you, how you feel, what's going on, right? Life's changed.
Every day.
Yeah. I recently adjusted my numbers a little bit because now the job I have is much, much more sedentary than it used to be. And so I work out X number of days a week and, you know, I'm up at about a lot is not anymore. And so I was like, all right, I need to do a little finessing on that because of that. Lives change, things change, priorities change, and these can change with you and should.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Josh,
that's all I got.
Those are your closing thoughts?
Those are my closing thoughts. That's it. I'm out.
Okay. So here are my closing thoughts to kind of wrap up simple nutrition. I like how EC said on one of the videos, I think it was video 2, the fats and protein, where she said that going out to eat, there's a high likelihood that the oils will be cut with olive oil and canola oil. And she doesn't want to eat those seed oils, so she'll have the oils on the side or just not get them, right? Because you never know what you're going to get. And the reason that that happens is because the restaurant is making a decision to save money, and they're just going to give you the oil, and it's more about the money than it is your health. In order for things to be about your health, they have it has to be in your hands, and you have to take accountability and responsibility. The restaurant is trying to meet their needs, and their needs don't necessarily in line with your needs. So that's what you need to think about when you're surfing the internet, when you're looking at TikTok videos and all these things. What is happening here? Why am I being told this? And is there canola oil mixed in with the olive oil? What you need to do is become an educated athlete. That's why you need to read the articles, but also be able to have a critical mind to suss out the BS. You need to experiment with things in your own nutrition to find out what works for you. You should work with a coach that you trust, that you know cares about you, to gain wisdom from, gain advice from. But ultimately, it's not a bad thing if you become a self-reliant and self-sufficient athlete. And then when you do need your coach, you go back to them. You said it just now, you tweaked your numbers. I didn't tweak your numbers. You tweaked your numbers. You learned this skill on your own. At some point, you have to do the pull-ups on your own. You have to go out on the mile run and survive out in the world and come back, and I'll still be here. And if we need to make a change, we'll make a change. If you need me, I'll be here because I care about you and you trust me and I trust you. And that comes with time, but that should be the end goal, to be able to go out into the world and make these decisions and to have such a sound, healthy relationship with food that if there's bread on the table, you can make the decision to have the bread or not have the bread, and it doesn't ruin your mental status that day or in the days to follow. And you are okay with the things that are happening in your nutrition. Someone brings cake to the office, you're okay not having it, you're okay with having it, because you always have a plan and you are an educated, self-sufficient person that sets themselves up for success by planning. You have a sound relationship with yourself, the way you eat and your food. And more than likely, if you're that person, the way that you carry your lifestyle is in line with your goals. If you want a shot or a pint of ice cream, you have it. It's not going to kill you. If you're in a situation where you have that and it spirals into a cheat month and you're off the rails, that is a problem. You're probably not ready yet. You should definitely be working closely with a coach, someone who can help you to refine that relationship with food and eating and be that sounding board for you, because there's that trust in that relationship there. So I would say that's my closing thoughts on the whole thing, is to seek out the knowledge, to work towards being a self-reliant athlete who is educated and has that sound foundation of a relationship with food and has a support system of someone that they trust or many people that they trust. And you can take in all of the noise that comes in and filter it and be like, nah, that's definitely not for me. And I can see that they're cutting the olive oil with canola oil.
Yeah. No, that's yeah. I like that. I like cool. that. Well done.
Simple nutrition. Simple. It was so simple.
So simple.
Josh, next time I'll send you the article. We are finally going to talk about the muted hip.
Muted hip. Yes.
Are you ready?
I've been ready for years to figure out how to fix my muted hip and everybody else's talk.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about it. There are many types of muted hip. It's not just the barbell. Remember I was telling you muted hips on pull-ups and toes to bar is also a problem. So we will talk about that. Maybe next week. We'll see. We'll see how the schedules align.
Works for me.
Josh, where can people follow you if they can follow you?
I still haven't done Instagram, so don't go there. Josh-Heller.com.
Which now, after this whole discussion, maybe you shouldn't do Instagram.
More than that. I don't have TikTok because I'm old. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I don't actively really use either, but you're more than welcome to find me on there if you'd like. That's it. And then go to the Albany CrossFit website, and I'm on there too.
Yeah. Follow Albany CrossFit on Instagram.
Yeah, just come down.
Yeah.
You never know.
Come to Albany CrossFit Wednesday nights at 6:15 or Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And you will be coached by Mr. Josh Heller himself.
Rising L3 Josh Heller.
That's right. The level 3 hopeful. Yeah. Follow me, James A. McDermott, on Instagram. And that's about it. Follow Albany CrossFit. Thank you so much for listening. Josh, another successful study. Thank you for coming on.
All my pleasure. Thanks for having me.